Hey, Rick, we had John Wischmeyer on today. Phenomenal agent. The biggest thing I think is his background is nowhere close to being a real estate agent. He was basically doing landscaping. He had a degree in landscaping, and then he'll tell you the story, but then got into real estate. But that is just crazy.
It is, and you know what I liked about is number one, he's a hard worker.
Yep.
Number two, when he got into real estate, he struggled, and he didn't succeed until his wife told him to do it differently than they were telling him to do it,
Yep.
and he figured it out what worked for him, and he did phenomenal. He went from not selling anything in the first 6 months to being the rookie of the year in Columbus, Indiana.
Yep.
That's amazing.
It is crazy on how each person's method can be different and you can still succeed.
That's correct.
Yep. So tune in to hear what his method was and his brilliant and phenomenal stories.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, your ultimate guide to the dynamic world of real estate in Indiana. And I'm Rick Ripma, your hardworking mortgage guy, and I've been in real estate and mortgages for over 24 years.
And I'm Ian Arnold, a loan officer on Rick's hardworking mortgage team, and we are both with Advisors Mortgage Group. Together, we'll empower you with expert advice, market trends, and successful stories from guru realtors and local experts.
Whether you're a homeowner, investor, or pro, join us as we navigate the thriving indie real estate market.
Now, get ready to unlock the doors of success, one episode at a time.
John Wischmeyer, out of Columbus, Indiana, and your brokerage is called...
Our brokerage is In Homes Today, brokered by EXP.
Brokered by EXP.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to get it wrong, so I wanted to make sure I
no,
had
that's
it. So
right.
In Homes Today. So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, they go to inhomestoday.com.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a great website name. Yeah. That's easy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's extremely hard. How do you spell In Homes Today? I just don't understand.
Well, I know. Well, you and I can't spell. That's why. We're bad spellers. So I like to start, like, where did you grow up? And where were you raised? Where'd you grow up?
Okay, born and raised Columbus, Indiana. Small community south of Columbus. My mother is from Columbus. Okay. My father's from Seymour, Indiana, John Mellencamp land.
Okay. Do you sing like John?
No.
Mellencamp?
No.
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 Johnny Cougar.
Yeah, Johnny Cougar.
So were you raised in Seymour?
No, actually Columbus.
Okay.
My dad was the first Wischmeyer to come up to Columbus.
All right.
So
that was a long drive.
Long drive.
That's not very far. So you grew up in Columbus. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to college? Or
okay, I went to Columbus East High School.
Okay.
So Columbus has two high schools. Bitter rivalry, of course, as most communities. East has the I'll just say it live, the better football team. We've won multiple state championships.
Okay. That's the one he went to.
And then actually went to IUPUI for a short time, and then went to Vincennes University.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to IUPUI for a very short time too.
Okay.
But then I didn't go anywhere else because that school was not my thing. So so Vincennes, though, go ahead.
Well, here soon, nobody will even know what IUPUI is, and they go away after this year.
Right. I heard that. So. Yeah.
It's just IU Indianapolis?
Hmm? Yeah, it'll be IU Indianapolis.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. So you went to IUPUI, then you went to Vincennes.
Yes.
And then you went back to Columbus?
Yes.
Okay. And what did you do? What did you do? And then how did you end up in real estate?
Okay. So, you know, my dad had worked in a factory, just on the line or whatever for like 22, 23 years.
For who? Cummins?
No, it was actually Reliance Electric.
Okay.
So it's kind of similar, but different.
Okay.
He had a dream of always owning his own business.
Okay.
Okay. And he was growing up, he was what I called a pickup truck landscaper. So he would work, this 6 to 3 o'clock shift at the factory, and then go straight to mowing yards, mulching, you know, trimming, all that kind of stuff. And so as a kid growing up, to be honest, if I wanted to see my dad, I went along and worked with him. He always had this idea or vision of getting out of the factory. And I was maybe a little bit of that ticket. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I said, you know, why don't I go to school for landscape design? And okay. So that, and that's, Vincennes had a very good program for that at the time. I think they still do. But so I went and, you know, got my degree in landscape design and all that kind of stuff. Got all the, you know, the licenses for spraying trees, lawns, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, odd fact, you know, at today when I'm showing homes and somebody will, you know, you're showing a home and somebody makes a comment about, oh, what's that pretty tree that's blooming? You know, I typically will know the name and I get some of the oddest looks because, you know, they're like, well, how do you know that? And I had to learn, you know, hundreds of trees.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the not only the common name, but the botanical name as well.
Right.
So it's just odd fact.
it's probably a really good background for real estate. I mean, to me, yeah. Landscape's a big part of buying a home, and yeah. what and probably yeah. vision that you have as a landscape architect helps a lot.
Sure, sure, and you know, and it was sales, you know, just like real estate, or better than sales, you know, just people.
Right,
you know, it's a people oriented business. Because yeah. we ended up starting a garden center. We had a nursery where we were growing trees, shrubs,
wow.
had the entire landscape department that we did residential and commercial, you know. So I did that quite, you know, I was there probably 13 to 15 years.
Okay.
My brother ended up entering the business as well. My wife worked with us as well. And, you know, at some point, you know, we started investing in other things and we started a development company.
Okay.
So, you know, just as kind of a side project, but we developed a housing development in Columbus.
Okay.
And from ground zero, you know, we bought land and it was actually in city limits that we did. It was on larger lots, like 1 to 3 acres. And, you know, so the transition into real estate at that point, you know, we hired a real estate agent to handle selling those lots and things like that. And unfortunately, at the time, I have this history of starting businesses and then the apocalypse happened.
Yeah.
You know, so we actually opened this development about a month before September 11th happened.
Oh.
Okay. And so everybody knows what happened in real estate right after that. You know, there was almost nothing selling.
Right.
Nobody wanted to do anything. So here we were sitting with this, you know, it's not a small piece of dime that you have on that.
So, yeah.
So sitting there. And, but you know, as time went on, I would come home and I'm like, what's my real estate agent doing? Or he was telling me this today and I don't understand it. And my wife, Kimberly, being Kimberly, she finally got fed up with me coming home and saying those questions. And she said, why don't you go out and take a real estate class, you know, figure it out. And so I, you know, there's not that many real estate classes at the time. And, you know, it wasn't that much on internet and things like that. So I just took the local real estate course.
Okay.
And, so I found it very easy, you know, it was just easy to do. And then I asked her, okay, I completed that. What do I do now? And she said, well, go get your license if you want. And did that, and it just leapfrogged. I fell in love with it and ended up transitioning out of the family business into basically another family business.
Right.
Because, you know, Kimberly ended up joining, and then now I've got children in the business and things like that. So it just kind of morphed into real estate.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So what do you do differently, how you were treated as a client for when you had a real estate agent, not knowing what's going on, stuff like that? Maybe they're using different terminology with you. What do you do differently now that you are a real estate agent for your customers?
I really try to explain things, you know, and, you know, I feel like I have a good sense with people. So I, you know, I can typically tell if somebody's not understanding something. So I really try to get that explanation down. You know, and funny thing is, you know, I was probably just like a typical client. You know, a lot of us as real estate agents, we we work pretty darn hard for our clients, and but they don't see what we're doing in the background,
right,
day in, day out. And in hindsight, I had a really good agent. You know, it's just he probably wasn't explaining quite as much to me, and he probably was doing all the things that he needed to do in the background. You know, I just didn't know that.
Right.
So it's probably, I think it's, you know, for any agent out there, you know, it's probably important to think about, make sure your sellers know what you're doing, you know, on that day-to-day basis.
Yeah. You know, I started quite some time ago, years ago, calling everybody in process and alone, mm-hmm, just once a week, just to tell them everything's going fine, right? Call the real estate agents, you call the borrowers, and you just tell them everything's going okay. Mm-hmm. And it was somewhat of a result of one of my agents that I work with. He said, yeah, I was at a seminar, and they said, we need to call our people once a week and just tell them everything's okay. Yeah. Because if you don't, what builds up in your head is all the negatives.
Yeah.
Is that what you...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And actually, on the being a realtor and say on being on the lending side, as a realtor, you know, I actually love those updates, you know, on that weekly basis. You know, because what you don't know, you don't know. So,
right.
So just any kind of update that, hey, everything's okay, you know,
yeah,
it is great.
Yeah. And as a lender, the reason we didn't do it is everything's okay. What are we going to tell them?
Yeah.
But as a, and you never thought to put yourself in the real estate agent's, you know, or your borrower's mindset and think, okay, well, if I don't tell them, they don't know,
right,
you know, because everything's fine. So, it does. It makes total sense. And most agents, once in a while, I get somebody who's not too thrilled that I call them once a week, but the vast majority of them are very thankful.
Yeah.
They like, especially the listing agent.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you see that too.
Listed agents love us. It's funny that, like, ones that we have never talked to, we call them and then we're like, hey, we just want to let you know how things go. They're like, wait, why are you calling me? Hold on. I'm not used to this.
Right. No, it's fantastic. I love that.
So what has given you the passion to keep this going?
I'll mention my wife again, because Kimberly has basically said, I don't know if I ever want you to retire, you know, maybe slow down, but, you know, not retire. You know, I have a brain that never stops. And so I'm always, you know, I'm always looking for, you know, what are we doing well today, but what do we need to be doing tomorrow that's still working 6 months from now, a year from now. So it's always looking forward. And I think what drives me, you know, with just keep going in real estate, you know, it's an ever-changing piece. It's like this year, you know, there's a lot of agents that are up in arms with changes that are happening on the real estate sector, you know, and, you know, nothing's passed as law yet on that national piece, but it looks like it could. But, you know, it's just another changing piece. It's just being a professional. You know, you may have to learn a little bit different verbiage, do a different form, stuff like that. But it's just business.
Yeah. You have to figure out how to sell it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And how to do that. That's one of the things I'm actually working on very diligently so that I can give agents something to help them sell it.
Yes.
Because
good.
Because a lot of it's financing. I mean, yes. It's how it's going to affect financing. Yeah. But just like you said, we don't actually know what it is because it's not done yet. So we think we know what's going to happen.
Right.
But it's a difficult thing. And it's funny, you're the same way as I am. My wife, she knows I'll never retire. I'll slow down. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I gotta have something to do. I gotta have reasons to get up every morning and work towards things.
Right.
So I completely understand that. So you started the landscape company, you did that, you got into real estate, and I don't think you started with EXP. So how did you, what did you start and how'd you end up with EXP?
Actually, only when I started in real estate, the top company in town at that time, it's changed over years, of course, as it does everywhere, but the Century 21 office, that was the top brokerage in town. And gosh, they were founded in like 1950.
Wow.
And so I didn't even, I probably should have interviewed it some other places, but I didn't. I just went in and talked to them and started working. Okay. You know, what they, the one thing that was in hindsight, and I really try to work with this with any agents that are coming on board with us, you know, what they, and that was over 20 years ago, you know, they basically said, okay, here, you know, send some note cards and call. Here's some cold call list. And I am terrible at cold calling. I am the absolute worst. Now, you know, like if there's a problem with a transaction or something, I'm perfectly fine talking with somebody, but just to call somebody out as far as a cold call,
I'm
terrified.
Yeah. and that's okay.
So I actually sat there, it was probably 6 months in and I hadn't sold anything. I was floundering and I was basically telling Kimberly, hey, I think I made a mistake. I should probably just maybe exit this business. And, you know, she said, you know, being Kimberly, she said, well, why don't you do something a little bit different than what they're telling you to do? And so, you know, I really started watching the top agents and what they were doing and started researching a little bit more. You know, I probably had started prior to that 6 months, but had done that. And then all of a sudden, that second half of the year, things started clicking, you know, just by that little, it's like that 1 degree shift. You know, it shifted and ended up by the end of the year, I was rookie of the year for the region. And it just snowballed from there.
So what did you change? So what is it that worked for you? Because one of my things that always have been after I learned sales. So I've been in sales my entire life, 40 years, right? My entire adult life. So more over 40 years. But I noticed that people would tell you, you know, you'd watch somebody who's really good at what they do. Then they'd become the manager and they would tell you what to do, which wasn't what they did.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Because that's what everybody tells you what to do. So they don't want to tell you what they did. They want to tell you what everybody tells you because they think that's the right thing, even though they didn't do it that way.
Right.
So what did you change that worked for you? So if somebody's out there, they're floundering, they don't want to make cold calls. Yeah. What did you do? What was the change?
But a couple things probably. You know, one is what I noticed real quickly is the average agent did not treat it like a business. And so I started actually truly mapping out, planning and just treating it like a business. Then I really dove in, you know, I had a really good sphere that I hadn't tapped into.
Right.
And so I dove into, working on that sphere and, actually attending events, getting my face out there. You know, like we have a really good chamber of commerce in Columbus. And so attending their events and things like that. And what I somebody invited me to a BNI group, and that ended up I think it was good for about $6 million in production per year.
Wow.
You know, awesome. So it was a really good group. So just two or three things like that, you know, just really catapulted. But it was just, it wasn't that big of a shift. It was just, you know, I call it FaceTime, you know, like getting out, like so many agents, it's like they're secret agents.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't spend the time to go to events and things like that. And it's not, you know, you're not going to things like that to tell everybody you're in real estate. But if you just, it's that consistent marketing, right. You know, just getting your face out there. I think that's, that played huge benefits for me.
Because ultimately it's a people business.
Yes.
That's really what it is.
Right.
All right. So somebody's listening to this and they have a question about whatever trees in their backyard that they're about to sell, or they just want you to not have to do cold calls and they have questions where they're buying or selling. How do they get in touch with you?
Best way is, of course, calling. Call, text, or the email.
What's the best phone number?
Best phone number is 812-344-3480.
So 812-344-3480. A lot of fours and eights in that. That's good.
Yeah, there is.
That's good. You picked that one out on purpose?
Yes.
It's a good number. It's a good number. And then, or they can, you said they could
Of course, call or text with that. They can go online. They can email me at john@inhomestoday.com or just go to inhomestoday.com.
Yeah.
And we have a really interactive website.
Yeah, that's you do. I went on it. It's such easy. I love In Homes Today. It's just very easy. Yeah. And you can get a hold of Ian or I at hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. Or you can give us a call at 317-672-1938. That's 317-672-1938.
All right. So before we get into one of my fun questions, I got another different question for you. Okay. So if somebody were to drive by your house right now, how would your landscape look like? Does it look good?
I'll say okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you do differently?
Take more time. Okay. To actually spend time. I spend more time with extracurricular activities than probably in my own lawn.
Well, it takes time to make your yard. Either you hire somebody to do it or you do it yourself.
Whoa. Right. He has a college degree in this.
I know.
He can do it.
Hire somebody. Well, wait a minute. Do you guys still have the landscape company?
No. No, actually, it closed about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
My dad had been in it 30 years and decided to retire, and my brother was done as well.
Okay. So you don't have them to have come take care of your yard for you.
Right.
Yeah. Do you cut your own yard?
Yes.
Okay. I don't, but that's
all right.
Well, the funny thing is, my mom and dad, they're in their early 80s. They manicure 3 acres.
Okay.
They've lived there since 1963.
Wow.
And they're still out there, you know, mowing the grass. They have, I don't know how many yards of mulch per year they're spreading themselves.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking today on my way in, I thought, you know, I haven't cut grass in forever, but I think when I retire or when I slow down, because I'm not going to retire, but when I slow down, I might buy a nice, good riding lawnmower and just cut my own grass.
Yep.
That's a few years off, but I might. Yep. I might not, but I might. Just an idea, because I got an acre and a quarter, so
okay,
it takes some
That's
time.
That's quite a bit.
All right. So since you don't do your own landscaping, all right, so what do you do for fun?
For fun, I cycle.
Oh, okay.
Ride a bicycle.
Awesome.
That's probably if I had any pastime, it's a hobby.
All right. So, go ahead.
Do you meet with a group or how?
Typically a couple times a week with a group. I work out 5-6 days a week. A lot of my through the week, I may be just on my indoor trainer, and I can this morning I put in 10, 11 miles, but I can do some work as I'm sitting there. So I'm returning emails and stuff like that. There's a really good Wednesday night group that meets up. We'll do about 30 miles on a Wednesday night. And then on Saturday mornings, I meet a group, and we'll do anywhere from 50 to 100 miles.
I love to ride, and now I have an electric bike. Now I have an electric bike that requires you to pedal or it doesn't go.
Right.
So it's not one that like a motorcycle. It allows me to go ride 60 miles or like that.
Yeah.
Right. Where I couldn't do it otherwise. Yeah. So I was, but I've looked and tried to find it. It looks like there's a really good path for riding in Columbus, or there's a good area.
So Columbus, you know, they've got miles of people trails.
Okay.
They've made a concerted effort to try and connect the entire city with people trails.
Okay.
Now, I ride with a crazy group that we like going west and southwest to like Brown County.
Okay.
Because the guys I ride with, we like to ride hills. And so we seek out the hilliest terrain basically that we can find.
Yeah, I do too on my electric bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I don't want a hill anywhere in sight. So you go. I prefer to ride the roads, but I thought there was I was looking and there's some phenomenal trail, long trail that goes through. Is it just their normal paths? Is that?
Yeah, it's the Peel Trail system. And we're also fortunate down in Columbus, you know, we're right next to Brown County State Park.
Right.
So there's tons of mountain bike trails there. You know, I'm fortunate. My daughter and son-in-law also own a bike shop in Columbus.
Oh, okay.
And they just opened one up in Fountain Square.
Oh, really?
In Jeffersonville.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, let's do a little endorsement. What's the name of the company?
The Bicycle Station.
Okay, so check that out.
Yes.
The Bicycle Station.
Yeah.
And So do they sell electric bikes? Or
oh, yes.
They sell everything?
Yeah. I think electric bikes are amazing. You know, it's bringing so many people into cycling, you know, that, you know, just like, you know, the guys I ride with, yeah, we ride pretty darn fast and, you know, all that stuff. But the electric bike, you know, for somebody that normally couldn't keep up, all of a sudden it changes the game.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. My son, he does Ironman. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he rides all the awesome. Time. He's up in Chicago. But I can ride with him now. I could have never ridden with him before because I can't ride 20, 25 miles an hour for 50 miles.
Right.
I can't even on my electric bike do that, but
that's awesome because it's what a great bonding experience with your son.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
yeah, it makes all the difference. So I'm gonna get back to real estate a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So one of my favorite questions is what would you consider your superpower or superpowers?
Superpower is just basically treating it like, and I've already mentioned this, treating it like a business, and just being that professional, you know, a lot of people say this, treat others like you want to be treated, but, you know, getting yourself out there, you know, it's not that I'm better at showing a home than another agent. It's, you know, you want me though, when it comes time for that negotiation, that the contracts, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's, cause in today's environment, it's writing contracts that can win.
Right.
You know, and so knowing as much as you can.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. In this environment, when there's a lack of inventory, you got to do everything you can to stand out in your offer. Yes. Right. And I'm sure in Columbus, everybody knows who you are.
Yes.
That helps a lot too, mm-hmm. to get a real estate agent seeing an offer come in from somebody they know, they like. And I can already tell your demeanor and the way that you are is easy to work with, and I think that's it's a superpower, because I'm sure you don't seem like you get, you know, something bad comes up, you just handle it. You don't get your emotions involved, so which helps your customer.
Right. You know, a mentor early on in my real estate career said simple words: never want the transaction more than your client. And I've lived with that all the way through. It's just keep a level head. If you're, you know, if you have somebody ready to jump off the edge of a cliff, you're there to talk them off.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And it's that, I think that's one of the areas that an agent really shows their worth,
mm-hmm.
because that's, you know, if you have somebody who also gets upset, it's going to take a lot of times minor situation and make it into a major situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? I want the real estate agent. If I'm going to jump off a cliff, they're going with me.
Well, that's because you're going to grab a hold of them, okay?
I just think if I'm going, somebody else is coming with me.
Take your wife with you.
She won't like that. So your family, are they now in real estate, or how does this all?
Yeah, so I have a wife and two sons working in our, we call it the Wishmeyer Group. My wife and one of my sons are licensed. My other son is currently getting licensed.
That's awesome. Yeah. So who's the boss, you or your wife?
Actually, my son Zane is the boss.
Oh, totally switcheroo.
You missed that one.
No, totally. I did.
No, we had a, in our previous brokerage, so Zane was actually our state manager.
Okay.
And so he, the way his brain works, he loves dealing with the MLS, the state laws, all that kind of stuff. I like the sales portion. I don't like sitting there just reading and, you know, things like that. So, you know, he was basically the one answering a lot of the questions. You know, he's got that mentality where, gosh, if an agent or a client is having a real problem, you know, and sometimes agents have problems with another agent or something,
right.
You want Zane on your side. You know, he has that calm demeanor and can just really calm a tense situation down. So when I say he's the boss, you know, he was.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Does it cause him some struggles when he's trying to tell his mom and dad what to do?
No, he has no problem telling him.
He doesn't.
Well, do you have an issue listening?
That was my next question. Because kids have trouble listening to their parents. I know that.
Yeah, because we've raised very strong-willed children. So, even my oldest son, Ashton, that's getting licensed, he's very good on that marketing piece and stuff like that. And quite frankly, they know way more than I do on the technology piece. I would be remiss to say that I know more.
Right.
And all future girlfriends or wives have to know they have to get in the real estate business now. That's a family thing.
I don't know. It may be better that they aren't. You just never know. So what is your dream of where this your business goes?
Okay, so I'll just say, I chuckle with the word dream because our past brokerage, it was actually called Dream.
Okay.
And the dream was actually owning multiple offices, and of course with that you need agents to support the office, so that was the dream. Through COVID and things like that, it's very hard. First off, getting agents on board, and then getting enough agents that actually wake up to win every day, because you need a fair number of sales. And so that was a struggle throughout, just getting people to treat it like a business and that consistency piece, things like that. The dream now, it's a family business, but we have agents in our office. I've got one agent, Candy. I mean, we call her family. But she really helps keep me on track. She's such a good person that, it kind of reminds you daily, you need to keep up with that, and be that good person to everybody. The dream moving forward though, not having the complete brokerages, it's like Zane, for instance, instead of just being bogged down on that managerial side, now all of a sudden, he's out there having fun. Now he's in that transactional piece, not quite as much stress, things like that. So we can really grow that end. Ashton getting his license, he's going to really grow into that commercial piece. I'll say Ashton was born with that gift of gab. So if he was on here, you'd probably never get him to shut up. he just has that talk. Yeah. He's getting into that commercial end there, and that's a wide open, especially in Columbus, that's a wide open space.
Oh, okay.
I'm really stoked, I already do some commercial, but it's, it is hard as a real estate agent to be successful in residential and commercial. Two different animals.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really pumped to get him going fully engaged on that. My wife Kimberly, she worked with me almost from the start at the Nursery Garden Center. She's always been, kind of that support person. So now, she gets to struggle with three distinct personalities between Zane, Ashton, and I, and just supporting that piece.
Well, that's got to be a lot of fun for her to have her husband and two of her kids there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah. No, I think she loves it. As long as she can tame our strong-willed personalities.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, she probably can. She's mom. And you're not going to mess with her. She's your wife.
Right.
You seem smarter than that.
Right.
All right. So I'm going to ask you again.
Okay.
Somebody's listening to this and they want to get in touch with you, whether to talk real estate, whether to talk about cycling now, or they're living down there in Columbus and they want to ride with you. How can they reach you?
Okay. Definitely call me, 812-344-3480, or hop on our website, inhomestoday.com.
Yeah, I love that. In Homes Today. It's just awesome. Yeah. And to get a hold of Ian or I, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. Or you can give us a call at 317-672-1938. It's 317-672-1938.
All right. So We're going to take a little pause again. We like to ask the question of the week. So what was your first car?
A Plymouth Duster.
Okay.
What year?
It was a 72.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Green?
Yeah, green. Bought it when I was 14.
What size motor?
Just a six-cylinder.
Oh, okay.
It was a, I think, what was it called? A slant six.
Yeah, slant six. Yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
It ran forever. You know, I think when I bought it already had 70,000 miles on it. I bought it off my uncle.
Okay. So,
you know, I know I'm not supposed to be driving on the road at age 14, but we lived out in the country. Actually had a stock car race shop a quarter mile up the road.
Oh, really?
That my parents took me to the stock car races every Saturday night. And I was taught as a youngster, because my grandparents lived a quarter mile up the road and they had the circle drive on the farm. And so I was taught as a youngster, though, when you hear those race cars starting up and coming down the road, because they basically use that as a test strip.
Okay.
You know, that I hit the field, you know, get off the road.
Oh, okay.
Because I spent a lot of time going back and forth to my grandparents. But I basically taught myself how to drive just going back and forth up to my grandparents.
Did they soup that car up? I mean, did you?
No,
no,
not much. No.
I mean, you had a shop right there.
I know.
Probably would have helped you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But the six cylinder, I mean, even back then, the cars didn't have a lot of weight, so you didn't take as much horsepower.
No. No.
To get them going.
Yeah.
Well, that would be fun. So now they had you said your grandparents had a circular drive. Was that like your little own racetrack?
Sort of.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. I knew you brought it up for a reason. I just wanted to make, that's what I'd have used it for.
Well, it helped me learn to drive on the snow and ice.
Yes.
You know, going around in circles.
Yeah. I took my kids when it was the first decent snow we had, when I taught them when I was teaching them how to drive, I made them go out and we got in the parking lot and they slid the car all over the place. Because I believe that one of the reasons that a lot of kids have problems in the car, die, is because they overcorrect. They don't know how to do it when they get out of control.
Right.
So I've taught my kids how you handle a car when it's out of control.
Yeah,
I think that's smart. So it probably helped you a lot,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Did you ever actually race?
No.
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 Even with the racetrack there and everything?
No. No.
Yeah. We have a real estate agent that he
Ron announces. Kepler.
Rob Kipler?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, he announces at a lot of the races all over the country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Even at his own, I don't remember, Outdoor World TV show. I don't know.
Okay.
Great guy.
All right. So I like to hear stories. And since you've been in the business for a while, I guarantee you have some. So what do you think was one of your most interesting transactions you've had?
Oh, my gosh. My brain actually went to showings, actually more than transactions,
okay,
because some of the things that you walk in on at a showing, it can be a little surprising.
Let's go. Keep going. Tell us.
Yeah. So let's see. One time walked in, there was a homeless person in there and basically hiding in a closet. And you basically, you open up the closet. You see the person in there, and they're as freaked out as you, actually. And I just kind of backed away and just got the clients out of the home. Little tense for a moment.
Yes.
You know, I showed a, you know, maybe I shouldn't be saying this on air, but showed a home, and luckily I went upstairs first, and I opened up. You know, it was supposed to be vacant, but they still had a little bit of furniture in there, and basically opened up the bedroom door, and somebody, I think they were passed out because they didn't hear a thing, but completely in the buff.
I mean, it's kind of, we laugh about it, but for a real estate agent, especially, and I'm going to say, let's say a female walks into some of these houses, that can be pretty... Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I was glad I walked in on that first.
Yeah.
Yeah. My niece is a real estate agent in North Carolina, and she posts once a week. I don't remember what they call it, but basically different things that you see in showings.
Okay.
You know, just not people doing, you know, but like, right. The last one was a room that was just totally full of guns, and the guy had a loader, and he had, you know, his wow. cleaning equipment, and I don't know how many guns he had on a rack, above, all the way across. I bet 25, 30 rifles, you know, just they were all locked, you know, it was safe, but it's just cool things they show, and she gets a lot of business off of that, just because people want to see what it is, you know, the different things. I don't know if they're all things she sees, or if it's just things she finds and then puts them out there, but it's really interesting. To something that's kind of cool. So as you look at your business, where do you see it going now? I know you've got your son coming in, he's going to do commercial, and it's kind of like the last question, but where do you see your business going?
Really only up, you know. It's it's exciting, you know, because I kind of took with our last business, I kind of took a step back and wasn't selling as much. You know, I was just getting the normal referrals in, you know, things like that. You know, I think I still had past couple years, 13 to 15 million in production each year, but you know, that just past clients and referrals coming in. So it's pretty exciting though here this past few months that we're getting back into it and kind of letting Ashton and Zane kind of drive the technology side and some of the things that's out there right now, as far as just getting our name out there. You know, we're, you know, I was on the phone with them this morning and, you know, just talking about the lead gen and just from the new platforms that they're doing right now, the leads that were just coming in overnight. So, you know, the growth factor, it really has me excited.
So if there's somebody listening that, let's say they're new to real estate or think about getting into real estate, what piece of advice would you give somebody brand new into real estate or thinking about getting into real estate?
First, I think the first thing getting in, because so many people get into, or in my opinion, they get into real estate because they either watch HGTV or they liked when they purchased a home that they liked all these pretty homes and they thought it was glamorous, you know, and they thought it was easy money, you know, that, wow, my agent just made all, you know, thousands of dollars on that transaction, you know, then agents getting into the business, you know, and mortgage is going to be probably not that much different, but, you know, on the real estate side, then they go take the class isn't, the entry level on real estate, it's not that hard. You know, you take a class, take a couple tests and you're done. You know, but then they get in and they get a business card and they think, oh, all my family and friends are going to come running. And, you know, it's not the case. So, you know, being a new agent, you know, you have to first off embrace technology. You know, you have to wake up every morning. And like I say, to win, you have to work every day. You can't work part-time and expect full-time paycheck.
Right.
You know, and a lot of agents think they're working full-time, but they're, you know, gosh, if they truly broke it down, are you actually working a couple hours a day?
Right.
You know, and it they're probably not even doing that. So a lot of them think that, you know, they want so bad to have success, but they're just not doing those things that, you know, embracing that technology, getting out in front of people, you know, sitting in an office, you know, maybe used to be the 20 years ago, maybe it was the thing to do, but now you got to be out in front of people.
Yeah. Real estate, especially mortgage is the same way. Yeah. You know, just like what you said, what you did to get your business is you started getting out.
Yeah.
And every agent we've talked to, and we've had a lot of people on the show, they say the same thing. Now, some of them get out in front of people with social media, but they also get out in front of people physically, right? It's both. And of the two, it seems to me like it's most important to get out physically in front of people.
Yeah.
It helps to get out on social media. And you embrace technology. So do you do much social media?
Yeah, I'm probably on social. Well, I'm on social media a few times a week.
Okay.
You know, because yes, it's just one. Like for a new agent, it's free, you know,
right?
And it's not like you have to create new posts every day, things like that. It's sometimes just, you know, gosh, just ask the agent, another agent in your brokerage, if when they get a new listing, and just share it.
Yeah.
You know, it's really the consistency that a lot of people fail on.
Yeah. And it doesn't always have to be about real estate.
No.
In fact, a lot of times the things that aren't real estate do better. We've had agents on, one of them did coffee shop, right? And he had over 1 million views on a coffee shop. Another one did something else too. I don't remember what it was. And they had like 3 million views.
Yeah.
I mean, and picked up, you know, views are nice, but they don't really matter if they don't translate into sales. But they translated into more followers, which then will translate into sales because people are... I doubt, you know, you get 1 million people, it probably wasn't all from your area, right?
Right.
But it's all about staying in front. I mean, let's be honest. Nobody wants to hear, hey, I just sold this house. Hey, I just listed this house. Hey, I just did this. But or if you go, hey, I listed this house. And then 2 days later, hey, I just visited this restaurant. Oh, this was phenomenal.
Right.
I mean, you still are in front of the people. And that's what it's about.
Yep.
And it's the same thing you were mentioning earlier when you're like, hey, when I go all these places, I'm not going out there saying, hey, I'm a realtor. Hey, I'm a realtor. You're just going out there, hey, how's it going? How's your wife and kids? How's this? And if they do, okay, hey, how's real estate? Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. But you're not pressuring them.
Right.
So, all right. So since both your kids have gotten into real estate, and this might tie in a little tiny bit to what you just said, but what words of wisdom have you given your kids?
Work hard. Now,
I agree 100%.
It's really just, you know, luckily my whole family is, you know, we wake up every morning motivated. We don't have to go to seminars to get motivated. It's you wake up every morning, you start working, you work out. You know, there's all those pieces. So that words of wisdom, you know, they've already got that piece, which is a very good first step. But then it's just working hard, but work smart. Mm-hmm. And I don't even have to tell them that really, because, you know, they embrace that technology piece.
Yeah. Well, you kind of raised them that way. I mean, it sounds like your dad was that way, right? Mm-hmm. And so was it your dad or your wife's dad?
The one my dad.
Your dad, who's still cutting grass at 80 years old. Yeah. And I mean, so they had great mentors to see and then learn it from them. And then they were smart enough to learn it.
Yes.
Right. That's awesome.
All right. So if somebody's listening to this and they want to contact you about buying, selling a home, maybe even going out and finding what tree works best with their landscape, how can they get in touch with you?
Or take a 100-mile ride.
A 100-mile ride.
In the hills. A hilly 100.
Best first step to contact us is go to our website, inhomestoday.com. You can scroll to the bottom. There's a QR code, and it has a really awesome search app. Links directly to the multiple listing service. The reviews we get is a lot of clients like it better than Zillow.
So. Yeah, that's awesome too. And I'm not a big fan of Zillow. So anything you can do to go to some place that is, it actually gives you better information, and it's not. I don't know. I just think it's set up better. I agree 100%. And to get a hold of BNRI, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. Or you can give us a call at 317-672-1938. It's 317-672-1938. And please follow us for more Indies Real Estate Gurus.
A reminder, if you have any friends, family, or coworkers looking to buy, sell, refinance, let us know. We're more than happy to help you. Hey, John, thank you for joining us on our show. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, this has been awesome.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it.
Yep, and maybe in a year when we have both your sons in here, we can hear the real stories.
Okay.
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittens NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.